God's grace and his peace to you from our risen Lord and Savior, Jesus the Christ. Amen. We are continuing our sermon series through Paul's use of the fruit of the Spirit. Last week we looked at love, noting that love does not necessarily equal like, but love equals forgiveness. We also noted that fruit from the tree is designed for replication, for that to produce more trees, which would produce more fruit. And that is how the Holy Spirit works through the life of the Christian toward other people. Today, we look at the word joy. Wouldn't it be nice if we could just go to the grocery store and buy a bottle of joy? Now, I will admit, there are some people who might think, well, there are certain things that you could buy at the grocery store, maybe in the liquor department, that would sort of satisfy that, but not really. The bottom line is, after a period of time, supposedly the joy wears off. That's where it's true with a lot of things in this world. You see, as human beings, we are constantly looking for a source of joy. We want to be joyful. How many of us wake up and say, you know, this is such a bright, sunny day, but I'm going to be a little rebellious. I'd rather be depressed. I'd rather be filled with gloom. No, we'd rather be filled with joy. Joy creates that special feeling within us, and we like to have that joy. And we might be thinking, it would be nice if they could package that joy. Just in case, if I don't feel joyful, I could always take a little bit more something to create that joy. That gives us a beautiful opportunity to talk about joy in this world. Whereas there's many things in this world that we may think can create joy, but they're only lasting for a little moment. And they don't really create everlasting joy. They usually break, they usually fail, or they usually wear off. Where is the real joy? If you are searching for it, if you are looking hard for it, I'll tell you, you'll never find it. You see, true joy comes from God and God alone. As a result, God has a little bit of a different definition of joy than we would have. Too often when we start thinking of things that make us joyful and happy, we might start thinking about presents, about toys, about games, about activities. God, however, has a little bit of a different sense of joy. Let me first start with from Hebrews chapter 12, verse 2. The author of the Hebrews is writing about Jesus. He says, looking to Jesus, and he calls Jesus the founder and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is seated at the right hand of the throne of God. So from God's point of view, where did that joy start from? It started from the cross of Jesus Christ. And you might be thinking, how can something that causes pain, something that causes agony, something that causes death, be joyful? Aren't these things we want to avoid? I mean, if you happen to see Mel Gibson's movie, The Passion of the Christ, how could you consider any of that joyful? Painful, yes, but full of joy? Again, God has a different definition of joy. Let me also use a sort of a proof text, just as a springboard into this, from Luke chapter 15, verse 7. Jesus is speaking here. He says, I tell you, there will be more joy in heaven over one sinner who repents than over 99 righteous persons who need no repentance. Now let's connect the two together. You see, for our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, joy is being in a relationship with you. That was only possible because Jesus died on the cross for the forgiveness of our sins. He died on the cross to lift you from the burden of that sin so that you could be in that wonderful relationship with him in heaven above. You are the most important thing to our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. That is what creates joy within him. So going to the cross, suffering the pain and agony of the cross, created within him that joy. Why? Because he knew he was going to get you. A special relationship with you. All because of his death and resurrection. That is what creates joy. Now, how do we take that wonderful aspect of joy, the forgiveness of sins that we have, and now how does that bear fruit in our life? And what does that fruit look like? Well, we have to start with the concept that joy equals repentance for eternal life. That's where that Luke chapter 15 passage is coming in from. Our Lord and Savior is joyful when his children come back to him and say, you know, I need you. I need the forgiveness of sins which you provide. So joy is equaling that repentance for eternal life. Joy does not equal the things of this world. And so the fruit here has a result. The fruit here focuses our attention not on the things around us, not the things of this world, but of the next world to come. The reason why is this world is filled with sin. It is not perfect. It doesn't yield a perfect relationship with our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. But however, the joy of forgiveness does. Now, how do we take that fruit? And how does the Holy Spirit use that fruit in our lives? It goes back again to forgiveness. How easy is it for us to forgive other people? Is that something that comes easily for us? Or is that something that comes very difficult and challenging for us? One of the reasons that stops us from forgiving other people is we don't want to excuse their behavior. We don't want to condone it. We don't want them to continue to go on and sinning. And so it's sort of like we will withhold forgiveness until they change. Please notice our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ does not do that for us. His death upon the cross was not based on the condition that we change first. No, God dies. That joy is created, that relationship restored, and then we bear fruit. Likewise, for the person who is struggling with the concept of forgiving someone else, who has the problem? They do. They're the ones withholding. They're the ones that are bearing the grudge. They're the ones who are not letting go. They're the ones who need to forgive. You see, getting back to that passage from Luke chapter 15, Jesus reminds us that there is more joy in heaven over one sinner who repents than over 99 righteous persons who need no repentance. Our gospel reading for today, as Jesus calls Matthew the sinner, the tax collector, is a beautiful illustration of this. Jesus calls sinners, and when the Pharisees, the religious leaders, object and say, how can Jesus eat with sinners? His response is, who needs to go to the physician? Those who are sick or those who are healthy? Jesus came to call sinners. So one of my favorite phrases here is to use for the church is, if you haven't sinned, if you're not a sinner, you have no need to be here. Again, Jesus calls sinners. People who need to come to him for forgiveness and realize that, yes, Jesus is the source of our forgiveness, the source of our joy. So repentance is very key to that. You want joy? Forgive other people. Let go of the burden. Enjoy their relationships. Yes, they're going to do things that you don't like. That happens in all relationships. But the joy comes in is reflecting the forgiveness of sins that Christ first gives to you. Let me bring in a little bit of Greek here for a particular point. The Greek word for joy is chara. Nothing really spectacular about that, except for it is related to another word that we sometimes use. How many of you remember during the time when you were studying Luther's Small Catechism, when you got to the part of the Lord's Supper, that another term for the Lord's Supper is Eucharist? Henceforth, the thanksgiving. The thanksgiving comes because of our joy in Christ. It's interesting to note that with the Eucharist, what do we celebrate? The body and blood of Christ with that bread and wine for the forgiveness of sins, as Matthew chapter 26, verse 26 reminds us. The forgiveness of sins is given to us by Christ himself. To do what? To create faith? To bring us joy in our lives? But yet, how many times when we come forward, when we receive the body and blood of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, are we really joyful? Or has coming forward to receive that bread and wine become more of a routine? Are we really filled with joy as we receive the forgiveness of sins that comes from Christ and Christ alone? Well, let me ask you. It depends on how sick you are, picking up on today's gospel reading. If you realize your life is filled with sin and that you're under that burden of sin, then coming to receive forgiveness is a wonderful blessing. You are healed. That burden of sin is being lifted from you. And yet in response, you will have joy that comes from the Holy Spirit. But too often in our lives, again, our minds so focused on the things of this world, we lose sight of the things of Christ. And so too often we think of the Lord's Supper as, oh yeah, sort of the closing moments of the worship service, the divine service. Oh yeah, and what am I going to do next? What's my agenda for the rest of the day? When am I going to get back to my life? I gave God a little bit of a portion. That's it. Now I have to go back to my life where there is true joy. When us as sinners start thinking that way, we're missing out on a wonderful opportunity. God here is touching us with his holy body and blood for the forgiveness of our sins, the strengthening of our faith. This again is for your benefit, for you to be in relationship with him. What does Christ want? Going back from Luke 15, verse 7, there is more joy in heaven over one sinner who repents than over 99 righteous persons who need no repentance. Christ doesn't want you to be in a position where you need no repentance. Now, please don't interpret that as saying, go sin boldly. No. He wants you to trust in him for forgiveness. Return to him for the source of your joy. Realize that, yes, we also forgive other people. And we confess our sins not only to God, but also to one another. So we give great praise and thanks to our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, who for the joy endured the cross, scorning its shame, to be in a relationship with you. You are the greatest joy to our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. In the creation account, we may remember from Genesis that God created humanity, Adam and Eve last, as the most important thing of his creation. God does not change. You are still the most important thing of his creation. He loves you. He wants to be in that relationship with you. And you needing him creates joy in heaven. If God has that wonderful relationship with us because of his death and resurrection, he wants you also to bear that fruit through the Holy Spirit, to share that love, to share that same forgiveness, bears the same fruit of joy in your life, in the lives of others. In his name, amen. Now the peace of God that surpasses all our understanding will continue to guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen.